Welcome to Psychopath in Your Life. This is episode number 30. I'm your host, Diane Emerson. I'm the author of the book, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews, which is now available on Amazon and iBooks. Listen, thanks a lot for all of your emails. I'd like to address some questions today that pop up, so I'm assuming there's more than one person that's interested in the answer. So let me start off first by this first one. And it's kind of a sad one. It starts off with, I'm now suffering from paranoia and anxiety as a result of my experience with this toxic person. Currently, because of financial limitations, I'm unable to find help for this, and my life is very nearly ruined. Well, what I'd like to say about this is, it sounds to me like you're talking about a pretty bad case of PTSD. And unfortunately, it's very common for victims of psychopaths to suffer in this way. Clearly, I'm not trying to diagnose you, so I would encourage you to go look up some of the symptoms, but it's sounding to me like that's what you're talking about. Because I've yet to hear of a victim that wasn't affected. It puts a big stress on your body, and PTSD can then lead to a lot of autoimmune issues and different issues that can take you on this long, winding road out of this kind of destructive relationship. And it's a long way out of this road, so I'd like to let you know that they don't get more destructive than dealing with a psychopath. Well, at least I can't think of any more destructive than that, and that's just my personal take on it. And I have some information at my forum, psychopath-research.com, about PTSD that you might consider checking out. And I never try to minimize pain or feelings. But do keep in mind that to get to this state, it takes a very long time to get there. So we need to have patience with ourselves and work on treating ourselves as well as the love we poured into empty shells like psychopaths. So I guess, I know your life may feel ruined at this point, but I can tell you that things will improve. And I have a few suggestions. You can visit the forum, psychopath-research, and tell your story and ask for help. That's free. Or you might check in your local area to see if you could find a therapist. Some of them will do pro bono work for people who are in a financial situation and they can't get help. So I have a few suggestions, and I suggest working on any issues that you might feel have gotten you into this horrible position in the first place. For example, victims tend to be kind and caring people. Well, tend to be. They all are, basically. So what I'm not suggesting that you're the type that any type of person that they seek out are generally kind and caring people, and they really bank on that in order to lure you into their web of deceit and all the things that they do. There's a thin line between setting up boundaries, and also I'm not suggesting that you go from being a kind and caring person to becoming ugly or nasty. And what I would suggest is working on boundary issues. That seems to be the most common thing because psychopaths are looking for people with a weaker boundary structure. And by that I mean is that they will test you over time to see how far they can get away with things. And typically a lot of those things get brushed aside, those with the red flags. So, you know, the reason I really suggest working on these things is that it's extremely common for victims to get engaged against once they were involved with somebody, or vice versa, or else find somebody new that seems different but is really the same old pattern. So it starts to work with you, but that's something that I would say in all kindness, because it's not like you did anything to get you in this position. Because after all, the world clearly needs more kind and caring people. But if it's a work situation, it may take some time to find another job, but there's no way to beat the system. I often hear from people saying, well, in this relationship with this person or this work situation, the question that comes to mind to them is, how do I get even? How do I beat them at their own game? Well, I don't know about you, but from all the years that I've studied this, I would say that that probably isn't your plan A. I think plan A needs to be to how to get out of the relationship in a safe way. So if I realize that you're evidently a male asking for support, and the sad news is that there really isn't much support out there for men. Men, we have this very, if you're in the U.S., I don't know about other countries, but we have a very huge stigma against men who get abused by women. And I believe it probably happens just as often. Because, for example, like let's say there's a domestic dispute and the woman is the one who was the perpetrator, but she's a small, tiny, sweet-looking little thing, and the guy is a 6'5" husky guy, and the police get called. By the time they arrive, the person that created the drama, in this case might be the female, they will be cool and calm and collected. And I will pretty much guarantee you that as a male, you'll be the one that'll be hauled off. Because when they arrive, you are kind of at the end of your rope. So I realize you're evidently looking for help, and we would like to do what we could to support you. But, you know, is information in general is very tailored. So I would suggest going to the forum and telling your story and seeing if there's some ways that we can help support you. But I can tell you that you may find that, and this is only from my own experience, is that I went down a horrible road when I agreed to take antidepressants because I thought that would help with my severe depression, anxiety, paranoia, and all those issues. But in my case, it didn't work. It really helped make things spin out of control for me. So, but what works best for me, because I find it hard not to flash back on both the good and bad times, is practicing being in the present moment. When my mind goes to the pain, lost years, etc., I stop, take a breath, and clear my thoughts. Learn as much as you can about what some of the triggers are that passed off as nothing, but in retrospect, there were probably some pretty big red flags. So here was another comment that he made, and it was, I would humbly ask that you include some information on females with this disorder in your work. Female ASPD or psychopath sufferers tend to be more subtle and covert in their abuse and more successful and disarming in their grooming of victims. Yes, this is exactly right. They drew those numbers out of the air as far as how many psychopaths are male versus female. I don't believe the stats for a second, and this is only me saying this. If you have a different opinion, if you found some research about these statistics, I would love to hear them, because the original studies I've talked about before were done based on the prison model, and we're not here talking about prisoners, inmates, mass murderers, or those kinds of people. We're talking about people that could likely be in your path on a day-to-day basis. So I was taken down by a female psychopath, and when I was doing interviews for my book, it was interesting because after the interview, most of them were males I interviewed with, they all had a story about a female that had had a huge impact in their life, a female psychopath. So women are just trickier. So just because it's a woman and just because there's more male offenders and all of that, don't get tricked about the male versus female thing. So then he goes on to ask me this. He says, I would ask that you also please offer sympathy to sufferers of ASPD or psychopaths. When I think of her, I think of a girl who must have laid awake at night praying, hoping for control as a result of the abuse she suffered. She never explicitly admitted her abuse or the full extent for sympathy. But I am very nearly certain she developed the disorder through incestuous sexual abuse as a child. I poured all my love into this stunted shell of a person, and now I feel empty. She did not benefit. Rather, being young, she used the experience to sharpen her skills at deceit on the whetstone of my affection. Well, what I'd like to say is, I am sorry to say this because I'm the furthest thing from a cold or unsympathetic person, but they don't suffer. And I'm 100% on the side of the victim. I would never, and I rarely say never about things in life, I can't ever see myself extending any kind of sympathy toward any of these people. So, and I found in all my years of supporting victims that this incest or abuse as a child is a complete and utter lie in all cases. Well, I mean, not all cases. I'll get to that in a second. But they plan, they think about these things. They say directed or they planted or hinted at, like she did, as far as saying that, never quite really coming right out and saying it, but leading you with that impression. So what I would like to say is they even admitted, the psychopaths that I interviewed in my book, they even admitted that this child abuse and sexual thing is a tool that they use to draw in sympathy. And so, like I said in previous podcasts, psychopaths use the victim card to keep you in the relationship. And I'd like to read you a direct quote from one of the psychopaths about when I asked them about some of the things that they do to lure in the victim. Here's one of the quotes. Maybe things like a rough childhood, some possible sexual abuse, you know, those types of things that get shared as a secret to not only keep them from telling others, but to draw them into the confidence. It is not my fault if people want to believe idiotic things. I never get the acclimate for how happy they are while the lie, their lie, is that I emphasize less. So why should I unquestionably take responsibility for the bit afterwards, where they don't want it to end? They're not mad at me. Well, they are, but they shouldn't be. What they're really angry about is having been made a fool of so easily. Well, that's a very interesting quote, and I hope that when you start to feel some sympathy, you might think about that and see how they toss it all back in your lap. The question is to you is, do you ever really doubt this? Or I believe it was probably done so subtly that you really honestly seem to be able to believe this. And I'd say in 100% of cases, people will believe this. It's kind of a rough thing to say. You know, you confront them over something and they kind of whimper around about, well, you don't understand. I had this childhood issues and all that. They're playing you. That's all they're doing is playing you. So besides, you know, when you talk about being kind to these people and this person and that she was harmed and created into being a psychopath, the evidence is in, it's in the genes. They're either born that way or they aren't. Certainly, people that aren't psychopaths can have callous and horrible relationships early on in life that might drive a lot of other factors. But these other people also have a conscience, and that's the dividing line between us and them. You can go through a million checklists and a million things, but keep looking for that conscience, and I bet you won't find it. You will find what mimics as a conscience, but it isn't there. It's not possibly there. So I'm sorry. I reserve my sympathy, my work, my time to victims. I really don't care how convincing a psychopath might try to be. And believe me, I hear from a lot of them, although I really am not interested in communicating with them. But, you know, they can be very convincing. I mean, they're the biggest victims in the story. So just keep that in mind, that it's more than likely not true. So when I think when people realize a few things, there is hope for change. Follow your instincts. I bet you along the way, it's harder to follow your true instincts the longer you're involved in the world's most toxic relationship. They are experts at getting you to doubt things. Another reoccurring question is how to get therapists. And people ask me, can you refer one in my state? I'm very sorry, but I'm unable to do that. Years ago, I'd worked with some people who wanted to set up some sort of hub at the forum where you could, you know, one-stop shopping for help with your psychopath and, you know, a list of therapists and all that. But there's a lot of flaws in that because there's a lot of reasons because I can't police the country. I don't know if it's a good therapist or a bad therapist, but I would recommend that selecting a therapist is a very serious matter. And I've spent years in and out of therapy myself working on boundaries. And not all therapists are created equally. Most every one of them will give you a free consultation, but it's, you know, obviously for a limited amount. But I would prepare a brief list for the meeting and ask questions about how they can help to resolve boundary issues. And the huge one is, do they have experience with psychopaths in relationships? I can recommend professionals to diagnose psychopaths, but unfortunately, you'll have to find someone locally to heal from the pain and trust issues that come out of relationships with this. I would caution you that everybody seems to scream from the rooftops, no contact is the only way to go. And I would argue that every case is different. No contact is the end goal, but there are other issues, especially when there's children involved. It is best to plan out no contact. And, you know, the best place to learn about this might be to check out a women's abuse center. And even if you're a male, you just might find one in your local area. They're a little bit hard to find, but contact social services or some local agencies and find out if there's a woman or just an abuse center and see if you can get somebody there to engage with you if you're a male. So the thing that makes me the most concerned is when people are leaving a relationship with a psychopath, things can become very dangerous. In these are the ones that you usually see on these TV shows where, you know, all of a sudden this guy with no crime goes off the edge. And in these cases, psychopaths do not want you to have any past issues or other people in your life. And what you'll find is psychopaths without any past issues with crime or murder, but you don't know where the snapping point is. You see, even when they may cheat on you and make your life miserable, they will not accept you in a relationship with anybody else. Like, if they can't have you, nobody else will. I've actually been kind of feeling kind of down this week because it's been I believe that these things, dealing with evil has happened for centuries upon centuries. But we're in a different time now because of social media and the internet, 24-hour news. We see and hear a lot more about these things. But, you know, as I look around this last few weeks about all these claims of sexual abuse with people in power, politics run by complete liars and white-collar criminals, the best way we can survive is to educate ourselves, support each other, and walk in kindness. We have a double system for white-collar crime, which is the kind of psychopaths that we're talking about more likely to enact, and your run-of-the-mill crook. If you are a white-collar criminal and have money, even if most of it is stolen, you will probably get a deal to stay out of prison during the trial, etc. If you are a low-level, non-socialized psychopath, you'll be in prison immediately. Well, let's say, hopefully. As long as we get this two-party system, psychopaths will always win. So at this point, all we can do is try to stick together, educate ourselves, and keep our eyes open. Not in a suspicious eyes toward everybody on earth, but by continuing to listen and follow. What we're trying to do here is go beyond the checklist so that when you start to see these little red flags flutter up, don't just brush them aside. So that's it for today, and I hope if you like this podcast, you will subscribe and share on social media. And really, thanks in advance for any sharing on social media. The idea of this podcast is to reach as many people. And as I've said before, it's not my thing. Could I learn it? Well, yeah, I'm sure I could. I mean, I'm not stupid, but it's just not my thing. Just like, for example, voicemail on my phone is not my thing. I still don't have it set up, and I'm not really sure if I care to set it up. So I appreciate all the support that you can offer in providing links to and sharing this on social media. So you can also find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, YouTube, and the website. If you go to the website psychopathinyourlife.com, same name as the podcast, there's an audio box there so you can also listen to there directly. So the show is for you, so I look forward to hearing your questions and thoughts. Be safe out there. Until next Tuesday, I will look forward to hearing from you, and I do read all of my emails. And my direct email is Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, at DianeEmerson, D-I-A-N-N-E, E-M-E-R-S-O-N.com. So you can also use the private email box there. So remember, in our world, we talk about change begins one breath at a time, because frankly, the old thing about change begins one day at a time just seems a little bit of a stretch too much when you're in a situation where you feel like your role is caved in. So try to stop painting those red flags white. And until next week, I will look forward to chatting with you more then. Thank you. Goodbye for now.